Do we have any other graduates here this morning? Now that we've prayed already and everything. I know we do have some, but we're thankful for you and we thank God for you. Well, graduates, I do want to encourage our graduates this morning, but at the same time, I would like to encourage each one of you. When I look back at my life, I think about my academic career. Even as a young child going through grade school, I remember getting older and reaching the advanced stages of fifth grade and sixth grade and thinking of myself as one of those older people, the cooler people at school, and thinking about school and can't waiting to be done. Have you ever felt that way in regards to school? I just can't wait to be done. And then I moved on. Junior high, high school. How cool it was. I was getting older and I was growing. And I remember every time I thought about school, I would always think, I can't wait until I'm done with junior high. I can't wait until I'm done with high school. Then I can move on to college. And then I moved on to college. And while I was in college, I thought to myself, wow, I can't wait until I'm done with college. I can't wait until I get my degree. I can't wait until I can get a good job. How cool is that going to be? Well, I graduated college. I took a little break. I got a job. I was making a little bit of money. And wow, I can't wait. I can't wait until that day that I get married. I can't wait until that day where I can have kids of my own. Every stage of life, I couldn't wait to move on to the next thing. I can't wait after I got married to my beautiful and smart wife, Debbie. Gracious, lovely. I couldn't wait to have kids. And after having kids, I can't wait to not have kids. I mean, I can't wait to retire. I mean, I can't wait to enjoy... Yeah. I'm joking. Children are a blessing from the Lord. I say that with all sincerity. I couldn't wait to move on to the next thing. Isn't that interesting? I think that's our tendency to what we don't have. And then when we get what we wanted, then we want something else. We want what we don't have, and then when we get what we wanted, we want something else. You see, that's what happens. That's what happens when our sights are set on the things of this world. Now, you see, you might be thinking, well, Pastor Steve, the things that you mentioned, that those are all good things, right? What are you saying? Is school bad? Is family bad? Is getting married bad? Of course, marriage is not bad. Okay, it's amazing. Okay, one of the best blessings of life. Are kids bad? No, they're not bad. They're a blessing from the Lord. But, and you, students, please listen to me. Focus. Get off your phones. I'm just kidding. You guys never look at your phones during service, except if you're going to read the Bible. But no, dear church family, this is for all of us. You see, here's the thing. We will never be satisfied when our focus is on things of this world. If our focus in life, if our goal in life is on anything other than Jesus Christ, then we will never be satisfied. And so I ask you this morning, young people, not so young people, wise people, what is it that you have your sights on? What is it that your sight is set on? Maybe let me phrase it another way. What goals do you have in this life? You graduates, what are your goals? What goals do you have for life after graduation? And this applies to all of us, right? Whether you graduated recently or not, what are your goals for this life? And if you forget anything that I've said this morning, or that I say this morning, graduates especially, I want you to remember this. this warning, this encouragement, this admonishment. Graduates, I want to encourage you not to waste your life. Do not waste your life. Dear church family, do not waste your life. If your sights in life are set on anything other than Jesus Christ, you are wasting your life. And there's four points that I want to encourage you with. Four goals that I pray that we, as a church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we would adopt. Four goals, especially for you graduates, that you would adopt, that you would seek after as you move on from this stage of your schooling and this stage of your life. But I want to share with you this passage before I share with you those four goals. And if you have your Bible, you can please turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and you can look on the screen. Thank you, Andrew. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 27. Now, just to give you a little background on this, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to Peter, and he had just revealed to Peter what he had to do, how he is going to have to die, how he is going to have to sacrifice his life and go to the cross. And here we are. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 27. I want to read it for you. Please follow along. Starting in verse 21, Matthew chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Look at Peter here, verse 22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Even one of Jesus' closest followers didn't get it. When Jesus revealed to him that he's going to have to go, he's going to have to get captured, he's going to have to die on that cross, what was Peter's reaction? You see, "Jesus, no! This is never going to happen! You are too important, you are too special, you're our Savior!" Now I'm just adding these words in. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus looked at him, right? Turned to him, said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block." Meaning Jesus is saying what? You are, by your train of thought, with your perspective, with what you're saying to me, by your actions, you are getting in the way of what I am called to do. And what I am, what my mission is. And Jesus reveals his heart, right? He says what? "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Brothers and sisters, church family, what do you have your sights set on in this life? What kind of goals do you have for yourself, for your family, for your children, for your friends, for your brothers and sisters in Christ? What goals do you have in this life? We know what the Bible says, right? That what's the chief end of man? Why are we here on this earth? What are we supposed to be all about as followers of Jesus? Our lives are supposed to bring glory to God. What goals do you have for your life? You see, and those goals can involve education. Those goals involve your career. Those goals to glorify God. Glorifying God involves all of those things. Having a family, getting married, if that's God's part of God's will for you. Having children, adopting children, fostering children, going on missions. All of these things can be opportunities to glorify God. But what's important is where your focus is. You see, are you going to be like me? Are you going to be like me who is always can't wait till the next thing? Never satisfied with what I have at the moment. Always looking and thinking that the next thing is going to make me happier. Or will you realize, dear friends, will you realize that the treasure that will satisfy you for the rest of forever is right here? His name is Jesus. How much time do we pray? God, what do you want me to do? What job do you want me to get? God, should I move here? Should I move there? Those are good prayers. And we should lift everything up to God and consult Him in everything. But do we pray, God, how can I glorify You today? God, how can I love You today? God, how can I love someone today? God, how can I be obedient to You today? God, how can I live for Your kingdom today? How can I live for Your kingdom at work today? God, how can I be obedient to You, God, at school today? Where's your focus? And here's the four things. Four goals that I'm praying that you guys adopt, that we would adopt. Number one, seek the Lord. Graduates, seek the Lord. Family, seek the Lord. In all things, always seek the Lord. Give your all for His kingdom, for His glory. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Above all, above everything else in this world, seek God first. A lot of people will tell you or advise you, well, this time in your life, you're trying to find yourself and get to know yourself. Dear friends, graduates, I encourage you, seek to know God. Seek to know God. And then you will learn to know who you were created to be. He is the key to life. God is the key to life. Seek Him. Secondly, second goal that I want to present to you. Seek God. Secondly, seek wisdom. Okay, especially from God. Wisdom comes from God. And God uses His people to also help us to grow in wisdom. So seek God, seek wisdom, especially from God and His people. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Now Paul is giving this final charge to his younger brother in Christ, Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, you know all about me, you've seen what I do, you've seen what I'm all about. And he says this in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 of 2 Timothy. He says this, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying to Timothy, but as for you, as this world is broken and crazy, as for you, continue in what you have learned. Continue to learn. Continue to grow in your knowledge of God. Continue to grow in His grace. Seek wisdom, guys. Seek God's wisdom. And in order to seek it, get into His Word. Talk to Him daily. Study His Word daily. Seek not just to read His Word, but study it and understand it. And not just understand it and say, oh, that's cool. But then seek to live it out. Make that one of your goals in life. To seek God, to seek His wisdom. We must continue to learn. You have very godly people here in this church family. I have benefited from many of you godly people in this church. And I thank God for you daily. Mentors, getting involved in Bible studies, ministries on campus, coming to church. Seek to understand God's Word. Seek to live it out. Seek His wisdom. So seek God, seek His wisdom. Third thing, third goal. Seek to serve other people. Not just yourself. For we know, right? As Jesus, He was talking to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. One of those experts of the law asked Him this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. Love God and love people. What is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment, the greatest command that Jesus, that God gives to us, is to love Him and Him alone. And secondly, love other people. Dear family, graduates, seek to sacrifice for the benefit of other people. Seek opportunities to serve other people and not just serve yourself. For this is the heart of God. Right? The heart of God. Jesus willingly giving His life, being tortured, ridiculed, being killed on the cross to save you and me. To save the very people that killed them. Seek to serve others. And I tell you this. Serving others is one of the greatest ways that I have experienced God in my life. I have experienced God in some of the greatest ways when I have chosen to sacrifice for the benefit of other people. It has brought me joy. Far beyond anything that I gave up. Whether it was time, whether it was energy, whether it was material possessions, I have received so much more. When I have committed to give of myself willingly for the benefit of somebody else. Brothers and sisters, this is the heart of God. Seek God. Seek His wisdom. Never stop learning. Seek to serve others, not just serve yourselves. And the last thing that I want to share with you. Seek God's work. Number four, seek God's work. Join God on His mission. Join God on His mission. Seek God's work. You know, when I was in college, I was always just thinking about, oh man, what career should I pursue? What job am I going to get? How much money can I make? How cool is it when I make that much money? What am I going to buy? Oh no, I need to save money. I'm going to get married. And I can't wait till I retire and then I can buy more stuff. Is that how life works? No. Seek God's work. Seek God's work. Remember, all to God's glory. All for His kingdom. You see, that's really my prayer. My prayer for all of us here is that we would come to a point in our lives in a realization that our eyes would be open to the reality of who God is. That we would realize how awesome, how amazing He is. That He is really the author of life. That He really is the creator. That He really is the ultimate judge. That He really is the king. That He really is the master. That we would realize this. And that our response would be then to give our lives, to deny ourselves, to then take up our cross and seek to follow Him with everything. That is my prayer for each of you. To seek God's work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 through 33, "So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved." The Apostle Paul, right? He just got done talking about how, yes, you know, as a Christian, you don't have to be scared about eating the meat that was offered to idols, because there's nothing magical about meat. It's there to eat, but you got to think about other people and not just yourself. And not only that, but he says here, whatever you do, from the seemingly smallest thing to the greatest thing, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And I ask you again, church, what is it that your sights are set on in this life? Who is it that your sights are set on in this life? If your sights are set on just the things of this world, and if all you see is just the things of the world and what they are, as they are, a job, is able to support my family and just make money. School, just learning stuff so that I can get a good job and make money. Make money so that I can plan for retirement, pay for my kids' education, and then have money to live on after I stop working. If that's all it is, we are wasting our lives. We are wasting our lives if that's all these things are. But if you see that, yes, they can be blessings from God, that God has given me these opportunities, God has given me these possessions, God has given me this job, this opportunity to go to school, to glorify Him, to carry out His commands, to go, and as I go to school, make disciples, as I go to work, make disciples, baptize, teach all that He has commanded. As I raise my family, make disciples. Seek God's work. For we know, and I want to end with this passage, Matthew chapter 9. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." This is the reality, church, graduates, young people. This is the reality, is that people need Jesus, that our world is broken and dying. And that people that die without Jesus Christ, they spend the rest of eternity in hell. And the truth is that God is calling you and me. God is telling us right here that the harvest is plentiful, that people are just waiting, they're yearning for Him. And we just need people to go out and do the work. And God, you will be able to reap, just not just do all kinds of work, but needs people to reap the harvest that God has already prepared. That's you, and that's me. Graduates, that's you. As you go now into this new phase of your education and your life, seek God's work. Seek God, seek His wisdom, seek to serve others, and seek to live out what He's created you to do. To His glory, for His kingdom. And I tell you this, in Christ, you will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. In Christ, you will have a joy that satisfies, that never fades. You will experience ultimate satisfaction in Him and nowhere else. And so I want to ask you now to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You for who You are. Thank You so much for Your truth. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for Your word. And God, I continue to pray for our church and pray for our graduates. God, I pray that our sights, that our lives would be fully devoted to you. And God, that we would see every good thing, every opportunity, as yes, an opportunity for us to grow and enjoy your blessing, but also, God, opportunities to live out your word. God, to reach people for Jesus Christ, to know you more, to love you more. And so, God, I pray that that would be our desire this morning, God, is to turn back to you, to set our sights upon you, and to realize that Jesus is truly the only way. That true Jesus is truly the only life. That Jesus is truly the truth. And so, God, I thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for loving us so. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you all to stand with me as we respond to God. If there's any decision that you've made or you'd like to make, maybe today you want to put your trust in Jesus for the very first time, I want to invite you to just come and let me know what your decision is, and I would love to pray for you, pray with you as we sing, as we respond to God.